Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you reached our your host Kareem Ali with the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction, Blog Talk Radio, located in Stone Mountain, Georgia. The topic for today is empowering each other without fear. The power of women of color.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I was calling in about your show this evening, and I wanted to just talk with you a little bit about what I was, you know, concerned about.
Okay, could you hold on for a second, sir?
We're just
starting. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay. We are description and the topic for today is Empowering Each Other Without Fear, the power of women of color in contracting if we only would fight for a cause of action that focuses on policy changes, redefining what we need our policymakers in Washington to support. And let me give you an example about why, if we are not conscious of what we're doing and what's going on in politics. We just got an urgent email from our sisters in New York, from the U.S. Women Chamber of Commerce. Please listen to this. U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce finds billions falsely attributed as contracted to WBEs. Margaret Dorfman, CEO of the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce, of the PWC, is a member, is getting the word out about a report which finds that potentially billions of dollars in reporting spending with women-owned firms may be grossly overstated, as dozens of firms with male CEOs are included. In 2006, 27 of the top 50 firms attributed as women-owned companies may have had male CEOs. These and other top 50 companies in 2005, 2007, and 2008 have similar misattributions. Her quote is, "I am appalled by the sheer gall of erroneous designated billions of dollars in contracts," said Margaret Dorfman, CEO of U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce. "The Bush administration has failed to come close to meeting the decade-old goal for contracting with women-owned firms. And instead of telling American women the truth, he has manipulated the federal data reporting system to try to hide their failures. We will not let them hide any longer. In 1994, the federal government established a paltry goal of 5% for contracting with women-owned firms. Women are now the majority owners of 29% of all the firms in America. Even with the growth in ownership of nearly as one-third of all the businesses in America, the federal government has failed to provide women with fair access to contracts. While total spending grew from $200 billion in 1999 to over $340 billion in 2006, an increase of $140 billion total, spending with women-owned firms increased only by $5 billion. That's right. Women, we're not even talking about women of color. We're just talking about women in general. Out of $340 billion during the Bush administration, only got $5 billion worth of the contracts on the federal level. And that's between 2000, from his administration up to this day. So what the direction of this show is, we had somebody to come forth and be a part of the statistics, the coalition's total belief is working with other women-owned firms will allow us to be a very strong voice when we have statistics. As a statistic-based organization, we will become one of the strongest, powerful women of color organizations in the country, partnering up with other women organizations. PWC out of New York has been around for 29 years. Ms. Janice is the executive director and was very kind enough to provide me with the information. And I wanted everybody, the callers online, we welcome callers from the 919 area code. Thank you, caller, for calling in.
Yes.
Okay. Caller from 404. This is a unique woman that's my mentor. Ms. Hearn from CJ Hearn Construction.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. And we have our executive director, Ms. Boynes, on the line. Thank you, Ms. Boynes, for calling in.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thank you for calling in.
Okay. And we have a caller from 678-665. Caller?
Yes, that's me. I was calling in about your show.
Okay, great. And we're just welcoming all our roundtable discussion people that's on the line right now. And we have a caller from 219. I'm sorry, this is Ms. Freeman. Thank you, Ms. Freeman, for being on the show again today.
I enjoy being on. Thank you.
Okay, I think if everybody heard what had been going on with the statistics regarding how the government has, especially Bush, has provided and misled, of course, again, nobody's shocked, the actual money that's been spent. So this is an oversight of almost $300 billion worth of monies that they have hidden in government contracts. Now, I want to take the first caller, sir. Thank you for calling in from 678-665.
Yes, sir. As I was listening at you comment on those statistics, one of the things that happened with minorities, period, in the construction industry, is there has to be an effective whistleblowing activity going on,
yes,
where projects are identified, where the expenditures are identified, where the contractors, subs, and major contractors are identified, and that they are being aggressively pursued, very similar to what Maynard Jackson had to do here in Atlanta when he wanted to allow minorities, period, to be a part of the growth here. Without an aggressive whistleblowing attitude and an aggressiveness about identifying the subs, the percentages of majority contractors, the percentages of minority contractors, and the percentages of women in construction actively being offered the opportunity to participate, even government industry, even government programs like the 8A programs, they too are guilty of not giving women the amount of contracts that they should. So as long as everybody continue to allow it to go on and don't stand up in front of, say, some of the more popular radio stations or the more popular television stations or the networks like CBS and 60 Minutes and what have you, they will continue to do it. Are you there?
One of the things that, and you're absolutely correct, and this is why the coalition exists. Our existence is to have a, you have to be vested into something in order to want to take the initiative and not work within a place of fear. You have to work within a place of purpose. The first thing that we normally would want to say is that what I read to you is a perfect example of how not being able to have a outside reporting, vested, non-biased organization sanctioning the levels, as you just said, of all the construction and contracting, because we're about to get an enormous amount of construction dollars inside all the United States, and we have organization chapters in 25 states right now, and we have to, one of the things that we're doing, it's not what we have to do, because of the coalition, we're working third tier to Barack Obama's folks through our partners with the Chicago Women in Trades in Chicago. Lauren Sugarman has allowed us to have a platform next year once the process of January 20th goes through. So we do have a way and a voice and an ear, and this is what we've been trying to say to a lot of our people, that you have to have policy reform. I want to talk with the caller from 919, area code. Thank you, caller, for calling in.
Yes, dear. I'm listening at this point. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I'd like to address the statement that was made by the young man about these organizations. This is Christine Hearn, C.J. Hearn Construction. And there are a couple of organizations here in Atlanta that have identified some goals there for women. City of Atlanta has certain goals on jobs that dealing with federal and citywide. Some of these goals for women participation, I take the airport, they may have a goal there for 17% for woman-owned firm and 17% for minority firm. Now, how effective is that? They go through the good faith effort is what they utilize. Quite a few of the firms do that this year in Atlanta. And as far as the Fulton County, they have no minority goals set aside. It's strictly good faith effort. So how do we reform those policies there in order to get our fair share? Hello?
Yes. Ms. Freeman, can you address that? Because you've had experience in the previous years when we were working in Milwaukee. I thought that was a good experience for us with the Eugene Jackson support level. Do you mind commenting about that?
I'll wait till someone else comment first.
Really? Okay. But what I'll do is I would state that even with the city of Atlanta, what I'm finding is that, again, you have to have an individual means and understanding that focuses on policy changes. Now, one thing Ms. Hearns said, and Ms. Hearns is, I want to let everybody know that Ms. Hearns is a licensed, one of 10% of all the licensed general contractors in the state of Georgia. And she is not only a licensed general contractor, state license, but she has an 8A certification, or she has her set-aside certification. She has her DBE, LSBE, DBE. If there's an E, she's got it. So you're listening to a lot of wisdom. And Ms. Hearns, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you calling in because we do understand that in 24 years and being in the working with the city, you've had to take them and define to them directly, hey, I'm not going to take the butt end. Ms. Hearns is not taking the butt end of anybody's contracts. One of the things we were talking about, the most objective, is that when they want you to put yourself out there as a company, and then I think put you down at a $50 million or $50,000 or $100,000 contract and tell you they only want you to place and finish or do 1% of that, and then say, by the way, thank you for being out there. But when you have more to lose as a licensed contractor, as Ms. Hearns and a lot of other people don't understand, is bringing value and being able to have a purpose and value to the project. And once we establish that we have more than just a certification value, that's what one thing the coalition stands for is being able to have qualified people in the organization. It's great to have certified people because that's another vehicle to be able to be used, but we have to have, you know, qualified people. Certified people is fine, but we have to stop looking for handouts as women of color and as minority-owned companies. You know, the most important thing is to suggest to each one of us not to keep on taking the crumbs off the table. And I think this in these next 4 years, if we don't take the head of this, we're gonna really, you know, we have a very strong opportunity to be at the head of everything. And if we don't take it by ourselves, I mean, what else will we be able to do outside of just continue to take the crumbs off the table?
Well, the growth for me, Karima, has been, I initially just have made it strictly on C.J. Hearn, and I'm glad to see some of these programs in place for women. The effectiveness of the growth in that is developing relationships with the contractors out there, partnership, joint venture. That level, it would help elevate women to sustain and be on their own at this point.
Well, I do understand. We have the caller from 678. What is one of the concerns outside of that? What do you think we should be able to do in you know, the work that you're talking about that we're not getting, and all? What do you think of some of the other suggestions that we made?
I feel that as what you're doing, you have your show here is going to start to draw public attention, and as the public become more aware that governmental agencies using governmental dollars are writing fictitious numbers for the set aside, and that many of the efforts that they're making is just on paper, but in actuality, that they're not actually giving these contracts to the women contractors. And when they are giving it to them, they're making the conditions a lot more challenging than they are for the male predecessors doing the same work. And they're wanting them to have bonding beyond their capabilities. They're wanting them to have track records of previous job sites beyond their capabilities. And it's very similar to, I want to go back to saying the same things that minorities had to do in the beginning, and you're going to have to catch the ear, the eye, and the attention of some of your top politicians and actually pinpoint specific projects just as they are going to these job sites and cutting down contractors that don't have license. They're going to have to make sure that they check these job sites and check them for the amount of women that are there working. the amount of project cost, the total project concept, the total project projection so far as giving women their percentage, and then checking to make sure that they're being given a fair chance to perform the work. When you're giving women what I call the opportunity to do the work, but then hampering their opportunity to do so, either through bonding or previous jobs or previous cash abilities, then you're saying you're handing a carrot in front of them, but you're snatching it behind your back. So as long as they continue to play games with women in the minority, women, minorities, period, in the construction industry, this particular process will continue. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay.
Let me share with you one of the premises of our organization. There's only one way of doing this, and you have a lot of people who rather operate within in fear and get the scraps off the table. And then you have a lot of – I've met several hundred of women who will not even speak up or speak out about the policies that is ultimately the barriers. And this is one of the things I want to stress. With the Center of Women Business Research, it has been able to help us redirect the values and the systems in which we should perform as businesses. The one thing that I want to state is that with understanding the numbers involving the lack of not participation, because they are putting faces to the table, but are you finishing the projects, and are you getting the retainer of the project when it's done? Because what they'll do is, and this is why most of the bigger companies have great CPAs and they have great project managers, that there's a technique that contractors have used for the last 7 years in order to have this kind of atrocity when it came to the first thing that I read at the beginning of the show, was that they have a policy in place. And what we are doing right now is that we're focusing on policy changes. And what you said, sir, is key to what we're doing as a coalition in numbers, in terms of instead of working against each other, we work with each other so that information like you're talking about flows quicker, faster. But it's going to take more than information. It's going to take policy change from our state legislative level to our Washington D.C. level of government. So therefore, without any kind of understanding of not having that, we're just turning our wheels. I want to take a moment and have a quick break. Please, everybody, stay online for a second. Thank you.
Here it is. boring, happy tree that you never want your mother to meet. And find.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I think we had a little bit of a technical difficulty. I see that I have our guest who is calling from California. She is one of the sisters that was a part of our research for the Center of Women Business Research, and fellow sister. I'd like to welcome caller Miss Destiny Muhammad to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. We appreciate you taking the time out and your schedule out there to give
Thank
us a call.
You.
I wanted to tell everybody that the uniqueness of being able to talk with women all over the country now and having a platform for every level of understanding when it comes down to business. Miss Muhammad has a very unique look at multitasking and multi-development of her business, which is really, really interesting. And I wanted everybody to just kind of sit back and listen to this sister because, believe it or not, she got a contract with Chevron. and how many people get a direct contract with Chevron through a social network of somebody that she knew to host an event for what she does? I'm going to please sit back and listen to how this actually touched our lives in terms of one thing that we've been discussing is that I wanted to take the show to is called A Quantum Leap into the New Millennium with Positive Energy. And what we have to do, and the callers have been on phone with us, please understand the problems that we have as contractors throughout the country and not being allowed certain things is based on our own energy. So, Ms. Muhammad, welcome to the show. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about what we were talking about and what you do. First of all, please let the audience know what you do out there in California.
I am a full-time recording, performing, composing artist. I sing and I play the harp. That's basically what I do in a nutshell. And I wind up touring or traveling all over doing what I do, and I get called to do a variety of events. It could be straight background ambiance music where when guests come into an event, they are greeted with beautiful music played by me on the harp. I may even do announcing or emceeing of the event in the backdrop just to get people seated as they're preparing to receive some additional information at that location.
Okay.
That's basically what I do in a nutshell. Then I go in a recording studio and I'm asked to bring in a little sweetness through either the harp or come in and sing backgrounds with folks. I also have my own music that I've done as well. And I have did my start at farmers markets. Farmers markets here in the West Coast from as far down as Los Angeles at the farmers market up into the Tacoma, Seattle area where I was playing at farmers markets, and folks would see me. And folks would ask me to come and do a variety of things where I'd be asked to play for weddings. I'd get asked to do recording work. Someone just happened to be there and say, I need you to come out and I need you to come in the studio and do just what you're doing right now. We don't want to change it. We want just that. Someone saw me from, who's now a wonderful friend of mine, who saw me who works for Chevron Corporation and asked me to come out. And the initial work that I did with them was to come out and to play for a town hall meeting. Then they asked me to come out and do some other special events hosted at the Chevron campus where I was asked to come out and play for Black History Month events, and then later on for some special award events where they were giving awards to people in a variety of diverse works that Chevron recognizes and acknowledges. So that is part of the work, and then initially and then eventually coming out and doing some work with a collaboration between Chevron and Cisco where they honor entrepreneurs and just giving them awards and showing them how to expand on the businesses that they were doing. So that's just a little bit of some of the work that I do, but it's what I've done in the interim, if you will.
Okay, well, let's talk about one of the things that was interesting, that when you were invited to the Center for Women Business Research, it was really interesting that they kind of looked at you kind of sideways to ask you, you know, why were you there, I believe, or...
Absolutely. They were trying to figure out why I was there because I am not a multi-million dollar computer savvy individual. I'm that wasn't the work that I was doing. And respectfully, a number of the women were working in large corporations or had large corporations where they may have been attorneys or they were providing some other service in the computer or scientific realm.
What
and these are women who were making between maybe 70, I don't know, they were making more than that. They were making $250 million a year. This is what they were saying that they were making. And this was, and these are women of color, and this organization was focusing in on women in that realm. And I had been invited by a constituent to come to this event. And so when I got there and they asked me what was my annual income and it was less than that, they said, well, at another date we'll actually start having events of this nature for micro businesses. And so we're preparing to uninvite me. And I leaned on them a little bit.
What did you tell them, sister?
I actually sit on the board of governors for the Grammys, and if you're aware of the Grammys is a billion-dollar business, trillion-dollar business that deals straight up in entertainment. And I sit on the local chapter in San Francisco, and this the Grammys is one of the organizations that hosts a trillion-dollar show that is aired every year in February. And I let her know, this woman I was speaking with, I said, you really might want to consider letting me sit in this event that you're hosting today. I sit on the board of governors for the Grammys. I am a board elected official. You really want to consider that. You really want to reconsider what you just said to me.
and this is what our discussion was. In watching those women, and you're out there in California. You did yours in California, right? Because ours is
correct.
What we were talking about was most of the women, and this is what the beginning of the show was, and talking about how a lot of the women were just figureheads at companies, and they were maybe a partner, but they really didn't have any controlling levels of hitting the they kept hitting the concrete ceiling. So therefore, even with those women being a partner, not trying to take that from them, but when you have individuals who are perpetrating themselves as a person that can possibly help you in a business situation. And typically, most of these women that you were talking to, I guess you and I were saying, had no clue about exactly what was going on around them.
You know, and I'll say that what I found at that event where we were is that what I understood was is that this was a Caucasian organization, respectfully, that was studying black women. And black women who have been, in my history, have been entrepreneurs for as far back as we can imagine. And maybe the ways that we have networked may not look very sophisticated. The way we have created monies may not have the posh and the elegance that some other folks have thought about. But we have done what we have needed to do to take care of ourselves and our families. And so... And I had this conversation with my husband. He said, well, black women have always been free to work. This is not something new. We've been free to work and to manage other people's business and to manage our own businesses and our own homes. And so now folks are studying us, which is not something new. Folks have been studying us for years. Now they're just giving us a lunch so they can study us.
And the thing between what I was sharing with other people was that we must, as business owners, we must take a quantum leap into the new millennium with a positive energy. That is where I wanted to direct folks, because in order to have an empowering level, you have to have no fear of that. And I like what you were
and
talking
about. And even if you
about.
Are scared, do it anyway. Use that as a catalyst. Use the fear to push you to the next level. Don't let the fear is basically energy undirected. What we have to do is to harness that energy and direct it in the direction where we want to go. And we need to know at least in some direction where we want to go.
And that's what I wanted to kind of bring into the conversation. A little bit more. I wanted to welcome a caller from 678-651.
Yes.
Yes, how are you doing? Okay, great. We have the one thing that I know that what we before you came on, sister, one of the things that has been going on is that a lot of us have just taken the crumbs off the table. One of the gentleman that's from the 678-665, one of his premises was that, you know, there's a lot of different avenues of work that you know, that we can all, you know, do, but in the same token, we need to take a leadership role, and we need to bring a reform of policy and changes, and somebody has to carry that voice to the White House or to our senators. And the one thing you and I discussed is that you have to not have you have to have a meaning, and you have to have a state of awareness to be able to walk in that kind of direction. And I think what makes it so important in saying that is that what you do and what we were talking about was, you know, a lot of folks do not understand that, but those sisters let you in the door. It's about who you know and not what you know.
And sometimes what you know about who you know
can make you dangerous.
Yeah, man.
And when we talk about, we were talking about the meaning of peace and harmony, and a lot of people are running around here stressed. And I wanted to take the second part of this show while we have time to talk to the spirits of the folks, of understanding that we have the power within ourselves. And we were talking about when we have an event, we're going to definitely get you down here in Atlanta, that when you have an event, you take that event and you take people into a meaning of peace and harmony, a state of awareness to bring down the
absolutely. I have a mission statement on my website, www.harpetsfromthehood.com, where I say I destiny use the medium of sound to sculpt an environment of peace and harmony for the listener. That's what I do. That is my premise. I know we live in an environment that tells you you can have everything and nothing all at the same time, that you are crazy and sane at the same time. My objective is through the medium of sound to help you to help yourself to move past the craziness, to help you to know yourself so you can be a positive force in your own immediate environment and then within the environment at large. But we have to start with the individual and help him and her help themselves so that they can do that.
And one thing that the reason why I wanted everybody to understand also is that the coalition has a youth foundation. Youth Build Foundation, and we have a program called the YMP, Young Musicians Program, and this is why the sister said, she thought about it, she called me back, she said, "Queen, I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do." And when we were talking about, you know, our youth, the whole concept of just infusion and working together and respecting each other is imperative. It's a philosophy, and that is why we're where we are right now. It's being able to understand working together with respect, and music actually teaches you that when you're producing, you're executive producer, when you're bringing sound to folks. Am I not right?
The music itself, all of it is a collaborative process. The songwriting, the engineering of it, the going into the recording studio, moving out from the studio onto the stage and working with stagehands and working with stylists and designers and working with people and A&R people, all of that is a collaboration. And once we learn how to collaborate beautifully with one another, we have this creative piece that is called the song. And we can say, not just that the individual who sang it or played it do it, we did it together.
Mm-hmm. It's subset of objectives, immediate gratification is what I see that the and I want everybody to understand that this is the last month of the year of the beast. And okay, I did say that. And so, therefore, we will have a joyful moment coming in history for us as a people and as individuals and all. But I wanted the sister to talk about what the empowerment level of having peace and harmony in your business, and not in your business, but in your person. One thing that Ms. Hearns always says, she says, "Karima, sometimes I have to get away so that I can be able to function, because I have all, as a CEO, she has so many different disciplines and individuals and employees and all these things that she has to deal with. And I think that's one thing that Ms. Hearns always talks about. She says, you know, Karima, hell, just get out. You know,
yeah.
You know, it might be whatever going on in your life, but take some time out for you. And I think that's what you did, Ms. Hearns, over the holidays, right?
Precisely. I just had to get away. I had so many challenges going for me. But I tell you, I really felt good to get out of town and just clear my mind and not talk about business or interact at all. And to be honest with you, even though I'm back in town now, I really need another week, because as soon as I got yesterday, it was like the same road constantly. But that's what construction is about, in a sense. But I have improved my management skills and gotten with my staff and restructuring so that we can move forward in this millennium.
And the one thing that you have taught me, Ms. Hearns, again, I want to elaborate that Ms. Hearns is one of the very few general contractors that's licensed. I mean, literally licensed. But the one thing you always have said to me, like, Karima, you can't hold on to that. And I think that's destiny. That's the one thing that you, in order to have peace, you can't take things with you. You have to let things go. A lot of people don't even go back out and bid work with a certain person because I remember back in 2005 when they didn't pay us such and such. Instead of them running, you know, instead of going back and letting that go and redefining yourself, as she says, to be able to start restructuring, rethinking, moving toward the millennium, a lot of us are just stuck and buried and dead, you know, in a state.
We're holding on to it because some of us define ourselves by our pain. Some of us are using that pain and those experiences to define who we are, and that stuff is gone. The person whoever we believe inflicted it or did it has went on and is having a party somewhere else.
So we as folks and in terms of women, I think we have a caller in from 919. Are you still with us, sir?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, the one thing that we understand, and it's something that I want to share with folks, is that we, as we get to the end of the year, and I want to thank everybody for constantly being able to come in and provide me a vehicle by calling in and letting folks know that we do have this form. But the one thing that I'm learning is that you have to have a purpose. Fulfilling the purpose must be a primary goal for every person. And is this the time right now in the next 2 weeks, and 2.5 weeks we have left in the year, because once you get past the 15th, you might as well say we're into the new year already.
Mm.
So the desire to be successful without fulfillment is a harmful process.
Part of it is also is that the individual has to decide what is success for them, not what NBC, ABC, RFK, KGLH, or anybody, what anyone else is telling you what success is, because success is so individual, it's so personal. And if we continue to allow someone else to tell us what it is and we buy that, and then we don't feel successful. We have all the money. We got the houses. We got the spouses. We have the children. But something within us is still not feeling complete. That's not success.
I was talking to Ms. Freeman about purpose, and I said to her, have you defined what God has in your life as a purpose? And what did you say, Ms. Freeman?
I said some of the things he has defined, but I'm still reaching out for other things. I've tried quite a few opportunities came my way, but now I'm looking for other things to do.
So we must have a drive for that purpose as well.
Right, you must keep on striving for other things. You know, trying to be not perfect, but near perfect as you can.
Well, I like to address that in a sense. I found what really makes me happy, and my purpose is helping the community. Developing a job area. As I drive and see so many of our men unemployed, utilize drugs, put in jail on very frivolous charges out there, feel good. when I'm able to put 100 guys to work and create jobs for them to help their family and household.
Hmm.
Hoping that Barack will make some changes here. I understand he's going to give billions of dollars to General Motors there. I feel that the money needs to be utilized otherwise. I've come up with a scenario myself. Why not give coupons out here to head of households here and allow them to go and purchase a house, give coupons out here, maybe $300,000 to each individual in the household. And they have the opportunity to go and purchase a home for $100,000. Therefore, it creates, stimulates the economy. They go have a coupon for a car. It stimulates the economy. You're putting people back to work instead of giving it to General Motors. Mm. You know, my take in looking at things. It's creating jobs for the community, the workforce here in USA.
The part that I wanted to also share with everybody was when we do create jobs, we bring in a sense of pride. And when you have pride, you lose fear because pride usually conquers fear. Does everybody agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree completely. If you empower a person, my mom always used to say, well, she still does say, she says, if I teach a person how to fish,
come on.
Right? If I teach a person how to fish, I can feed that person. That person can feed themselves for the rest of
their life.
Is that what you said?
Yes,
Ms. Freeman?
That's correct. That's correct.
So can I get a loan? No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't like to piggyback on that comment about the jobs, creating the new jobs. What I'm trying to figure out is we need to try to save the jobs that we already have. And if that means helping General Motors out, then so be it. Because there are quite a few people that buy houses that work for General Motors, they buy cars, and they feed their families also. And without those are what I call middle-class jobs. Those middle-class jobs feed a lot of people, and it helps a lot of the industries out also.
I think what I want to keep on to target into that, with the United States and we and I guess we as a community, we have a double-edged sword going on. I want to welcome caller from 952.
Hi, how you doing, Karima?
Wonderful, Michelle. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, girl. Say, I might get another call. If I drop out, I'll be sure to call right back in, but I'm here.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in and being always on the show. I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but what I also want to share with everybody was that I think as business owners, and all of us that's online are business owners. Am I not correct? Everybody online?
Pretty much.
Okay. And the one thing I always like to tell people is and this might be a little bit off the subject in a sense, but I grew up in a church that song a song, a charge to keep I have. And if you go to our site, ncwcc.org, you will see that. And I had some challenges last year to the point that God had brought me to my absolute breaking point. And sometimes when he does that, not sometimes, but when he does that, you know your purpose. You know your purpose. I woke up out of my sleep, and only thing I could say was, yes, God, I understand. I'll do it. I'll do it. And thus brings into the coalition of women of color in construction. It is my charge to keep. I've had challenges as a business owner right here in Atlanta. We had challenges with the technical colleges, working with them. Ms. Hearns has always given me the Maggie Freeman Jr., I say, talk, but I'm hot-headed, and I try not to, you know, I had to challenge these individuals. And let me just give you a quick story about what happened, was that we took a bid down in Waycross, Georgia, and our company has been pouring concrete since we were little. young folks, just young teenagers, pouring concrete. So between myself and my sister, we can pour some trucks. That's just by ourselves. I'm not sure where she's at right about now, but I know I can pour 10 trucks.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, very good. But we went down there and we had a good crew of people that was going to go with us, and then people started dropping off, and then we wind up going down there with one person, me and one other person, and he was a great finisher, but he was not a good leader. So make a long story short, when we pulled in on the site, Waycross is right at the very bottom, right by Florida, and it's nasty down in swampland. Moving quickly to the end of the story is that when we showed up at 9:30 that night. I had already had all the equipment and I brought my lumber and all that, pins and everything down there, and at 9:30 that night, I jumped on the Bobcat and started working. Mm. So when the college opened that morning, we had framed up the concrete, framed up the formwork for the concrete, just me and this other gentleman. And it started raining, and I had already ordered the truck. And let me tell you about Social Capital Network. One of my mentors allowed me to charge $10,000 for concrete on a new account. He opened up the account and said, just bring me back my check when you come back. Well, when we opened up the when they opened up the school, a truck was pulling in, and all they saw was one other person out there. And they looked at us and said, where's the rest of the people at? I said, I'm the finisher, I'm the operator, I'm the forum carpenter, and I'm the owner. So therefore, I worked four people. But that is how my mother has taught us. I mean, there's no other way to work. I don't think so, is it?
No.
Okay, there
no.
you go.
Yeah.
So that has been our blueprint in terms of the challenges. Now, when we got done with that job, they paid us. They don't supposed to do this. We worked and did extra work. I actually did everything on that Bobcat, and we did all that extra work for free for these people. Put in the pipe, everything. Gave them engineering designs and everything else. When we left Waycross, I bidded another job in Athens. They could not believe that a white man stood up and said, "No, she can do it. She can do it." And they were so disheartened coming back to Athens up my way. They were so upset that they was like, "There's no way." And this is one of the most powerful people in South Georgia said, "No, she can do it. I will tell you, she will do that work." And it was less than half of what it was. So what I was saying was that those challenges that people have. And, you know, when I got to Athens, it was horrible. The conditions were horrible. We wind up just absolutely going to war with these folks. I had to go. I put in allegations direct. Ms. Hearns has taught me to document everything and send letters.
Yeah, that you do have
that
to
is
do.
The most. That's the. This is the most writing-less woman you ever want to see in your life. But guess what? We got our check. You know, we took pictures and we got our check and we sat at the table. And Ms. Hearns has given me a lot of advice, but I didn't hold that against the technical colleges. You know, basically, what I did was define the fact that we need to build a better network of individuals when we travel, you know, from place to place. And one of the women that's going to be a part of our executive board is a $20 million real company in Chicago that said, I said, could you come here and work? And she says, I can't unless I know our social capital networks are in place, because I can't. I didn't build my business for 24 years to come there to lose everything. So the relationship that I built down in Waycross propelled us back to do more technical college work up here in Georgia. And that was crazy. We had to leave town to become a credible contractor with the state to come back and be challenged in our own background. So that's the story.
Yo, I'll be right back. Okay.
That was a challenge. That was a challenge for us. And the one thing I do know is that we had a purpose. Our purpose was to finish that project. We had to finish that project. And of course, you know, the gentleman really was very nasty. And the more nasty he got, the better I got. So That's my character. That's my purpose. My purpose was to not fail, because every time a woman of color business failed on a project, guess what? It makes it worse for the next young person. And let me share this with you. I can talk, but let me tell you what I told them. And this is the president of the technical college. I told them I was the right woman for them. I said, God made me for this. I was the right sister for you. And guess what? Thank you for making me a very rich black woman. He said, thank you. Guess what? The governor's office called, apologized, and gave us our check with all the documentation that we sent to our networking partners. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not like I was famous or anything. It's just the fact that we were able to, just like Sister Destiny did, if, you know, do you really want to do this? You know, are you sure you want to tangle with me?
Yeah.
So when, you know, when a person starts to think about that, that kind of gives you a better drive in terms of that. So, I appreciate the sister even introducing it. I can always relate a lot of stuff real easily. So, Miss Destiny, could you tell us about the youth initiative that you got going there as well with your program?
The youth initiative? I don't have at this time a youth initiative in place. What I do is that I go into schools, quote-unquote urban and inner-city schools, where I know my children haven't seen a harp, and let alone not seeing a harp and not seeing a sister play a harp. So I go into those schools, and I do an inspirational concert lecture on the origin of the harp, and I actually challenge young people to not only have a dream but to pursue it relentlessly. And this is my way to give back, because this is what I have. I have my dream made manifest, and so I go into the school. And the school said, we don't have any money. So, well, if you don't have any money, we come in anyway. They said they didn't have any money. So, well, we come in. So, well, we don't have no time for you to come. I mean, we were back and forth with this. We finally wound up not going to the school because they said, we don't have no money and we don't want you.
And why is that? Why would that be?
I don't. They didn't have a reason for not wanting it. I said it's free. My job is to inspire these young folks. This is what I do. I said Harpers from the Hood is not just something cute. I'm from the hood. I grew up in Compton, and Compton is a little town in Southern California. A number of rappers said that they come from there. Now I remember the birth of the drive-bys and the Crips coming through there. I said I grew up on welfare when they was passing out stamps before the EBT card came. You know, I said I'm here to let them know that all you have to do is have a dream and pursue it relentlessly, even when your family doesn't understand, when your folks don't get it. When it appears there's no money and no food, you got to believe when belief almost looks invisible.
Belief almost looks invisible.
That was.
And so I go into schools and do that. I hit at least maybe three or four schools a year. And they got students, and they bring the students into the auditorium, and I tell them about my life, and they straight up questions. They said, well, can you make any money at that? I said, yes. I said, but you got some work. I said when I decided to take up the harp, I said, I wasn't a youngster, I was an adult. I had to pay for my own lessons. And when all my girlfriends was calling up, talking about, come on girl, let's go get our head bad and let's go out to the club. I said, while you all out there breakdancing, I'ma be practicing. I'ma be studying. When you're all out there in miniskirts, I'm going to be sitting down at this harp figuring it out, what these strings do, why they do what they do.
The premises of what I feel when you it's about having a purpose again and having and empowering yourself with the courage to fight. You know, I always tell people to go back to our description of our show. And it really, we have to understand we're all connected. And I like saying this. Until when the construction industry crashed, everybody said, oh, poor construction workers, oh, it just wasn't but the Mexicans, you know. But we're all connected. I mean, our connectivity level now puts us, and I can honestly say I know somebody that sits on the board of the Grammys.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And I might produce a song. You never know. It could be shocking, but still. But I also wanted to ask Ms. Hearns about that same point that she said that, you know, you said, Karima, you know, I don't have time to be running around with those assholes. I have a business I have to run.
Come on, Ms. Hearns,
So what you know, I need to stay around positive people doing positive things, and that's one thing that we've been discussing with realigning ourselves. You know, with trying to help you with your business as far as restructuring and strategic level of planning. You know, you have a lot of people who are now running at Ms. Hearns, and I'm sure a lot of people are now running at you, Destiny, as well, in terms of just, you know, saying, wow, she really did do it. Ms. Hearns always would say, you know, Karima, you have a blueprint. She said, Ms. Hearns took her business from when her husband passed and grew that business to the level that it has been. And she's like, I didn't have a blueprint. I don't, you know, is that one of the things you used to say to me? Well, you actually just said it last week, but still.
Absolutely, Karima. And the thing is that it's been a long struggle. I've been in business for 20 years. I'm a diversified firm. And I did have my husband as a support person. He was in the field, and I ran the administrative, but I also got in the field operation, on the roof, underneath the attic, inside, and et cetera, and acquired certifications. But I understand the difference is this man industry, and there are challenges there. And they put women in a certain category. Women are in every type of field that you can find in America. We are very strong human beings that God put us for support for our men. However, you know, like the president are really, I feel, as strong as their wives, Elena Eisenhower, et cetera.
They're true.
You know, maintain that same image. In construction right now, I too am on the same brink of jobs and interacting with the men and understand how the game is played. Have encountered, you can't imagine, but I'm thick-skinned, and because of the challenge, I enjoy that, totally in heart. And I don't mind sharing it with whomever I encounter. But there are days that I've cried for years wanting a mentor or someone to show me how this business goes. I look the old-fashioned way. I just had to learn it with my hands, teeth, and et cetera. And I'm here to assist to make that happen. I have a goal and a purpose, and that's to create jobs for our community and our people. If I die tonight, I still want C.J. Hearns to still exist for the community of the world here in USA.
Well, you know I got you, Ms. Hearns, so I'm with you. To the end, absolutely. I have always admired Ms. Hearns and how she's approached business situations and business struggles, too, in a way that I just recently learned on how to react to a lot of different things. Let me share something with you that that I got from actually, again, from this research book that I'm asking sisters to open up and read it. The discussion focused on communities, right? Also illuminated a concept that we have been labeled connected capitalism, a different way of doing business that serves a double bottom line, by simultaneously growing a business and giving back to the community. It is especially salient for the African-American participants, which represented nearly three-quarters of the research participants. It is as though Madam C.J. Walker's legacy of entrepreneurship for a dual purpose, self and community, continues to thrive. And I quote, I am in the business world not for myself alone, but to all the good I can do to uplift my race, Madam C.J. Walker. So that is a very true purpose in a person when you, and I'm not sure, you know, that this was one of the reasons of the research that defines Sister Sister Muhammad, when we were talking about the women that was there, a lot of the women did not even, you know, they had a lot of women, and I just have to be forward about this, where a lot of them were gatekeepers that sat at the door, didn't have a clue, but knew just not to let anybody in.
You know, and the thing with that is that how does one sit as a gatekeeper and still allow people in and still win? You know, I'm not discrediting the fact those women are taking those monies as gatekeepers, and they're educating their daughters and sons. They're taking care of their households, and it goes back to what the sister was saying about let's keep the jobs going at GM too. I want those sisters there, and I know some of them is probably in a state of selective amnesia, and they're not trying to let me or you in. But there's some of those sisters that are sitting there, and they're looking to the right and the left, and they say, "Come on in here right now, while I got a spot."
What is a state of amnesia?
Mm-hmm. A selective amnesia.
Selective amnesia.
They forgot how they got where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot that they stand on the heads of ancestors and Aunt Sookies and Aunt Carols that wash dishes and clothes and underwears and drawers and stuff, and them kitchens that allow for them to sit in those positions. See, they forgot. Somebody who couldn't speak English according to the King's English correctly was the one to put them in the Sarah Lawrences and the Morehouses and all them other schools so that they could sit in those positions. That is selective amnesia. You select to forget how you got there.
That's right.
That's selective amnesia. But when you become conscious and you say, yes, I remember my old Aunt Faye whose money who washed clothes in a bucket so that I could be here. So when I see a sister or a brother who's trying to come in some kind of way, yeah, I'm going to look to the right and the left, and I'm going to say, come on in right now where we got a spot. You better make me proud because I'll hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole lot of people depending on me whose heads I stand on to remain here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the legacy in which is so tremendous that we need to forge that into, I don't know how you do that with some folks who, you know, feel like they have made it. And it's been so interesting that we said that the premises of a coalition for women of color, people keep asking me, why did you call it women of color? Well, all of us are only 3 degrees from separation on one level.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so therefore, when we look at another person, sister could be black or white, we know that even if she has a white face, like Obama got a black face, but he's got some white blood inside of him. So our separation and our resurrection and coming out of that level of thinking, that consciousness, is what we're at. I've been beating my head in and trying to say, well, how can I really keep this thing going and deliver the right amount of information to people who seem like they're okay where they are. They're okay with being miserable. They're okay with stepping on people's heads and taking on, you know, the negative the parts of life. They, you know, I always tell a sister when I talk to them on the phone, especially from the participants, I said, it's okay for you to sing and shout with me, and I fall out on the floor, and you fan me, and in the middle of the church, you're praying around me, you're holding me and saying it's going to be all right, but you cuss me out getting into the parking lot. But you won't reach across the table and help me at a business meeting. You won't, like you said, here you go, don't say nothing, here you go, don't say nothing, there you go. You know, and that's the thing that I have put in on our site is that 85% of the contracting officers, and I say contracting is all sorts of services. Sister Muhammad has a service, and this is why she wants to be a part of a coalition altogether, because she provides a service. In the same breath, I say that when you can cross across the lines of all sorts of businesses, then you have a full sustainable organization. And I think sustainability is one thing that I've always looked at to some of the business women that I've ran across, and understanding that, again, I just want to stress to everybody that's listening and the folks that's going to be listening in, is that if we don't become self-conscious about our purpose as people, as business owners, as human beings, we're going to have the same year that we had this year, next year, and year after year. So I challenge folks to, you know, they say, well, what is this talk show about? This is a forum for individuals to be able to voice themselves. A lot of people get real nervous. I say, will you come on the show? Well, there's no need to get nervous. Nobody sees you, but everybody does hear you. And you'd be surprised when I talk to Sister Muhammad. We instantly, you know, I've actually ran her down. I mean, she couldn't get away from me. I ran her down for 2 months, so I appreciate you coming on the show as well. I guess when you call me, you say, well, I guess since you're so relentless, let me see what you got to say.
And she literally was, because I was receiving emails, and I said, I don't know who this is, but apparently either my music or a message or something has come across about who I am. And so I've emailed her back. Then I get this email again, and the email was specific, please call. Okay.
So I wanted to.
I literally just spoke with her yesterday.
Well, I never meet a stranger, even though we've never met, but our spirits are understanding about our deliverance to the world and what we're supposed to, what we're here to do, you know. Michelle, you've been online and been kind of silent today. You got any comments today for us?
Well, unfortunately, not a whole lot right now. As I've been listening, I've been trying to think about, oh, how can I jump in and chime in? I mean, I'm just listening right now. My daughter is in here, and she's been distracting me off and on a little bit. But
beat her.
You so bad, Karima, girl. You a mess.
No, I used to get beat a lot. I got beat. I used to get hit. Shut up.
Yeah. Well, I think I can chime in a little bit on the comment about when people forget, you know, how they got to where they are, or forget their history. You know, in corporate America, you know, I've had this conversation a lot over the radio about the corporate standards and the way people do things, and it's a shame. It's really a shame. You know, I've encountered brothers and sisters. They get to a certain position, and it's like they lose themselves. And I've always had this question: okay, do those people have any consciousness that this is what they're doing, or do they feel that's what they have to do to stay afloat or whatever? I mean, that's a question I've always asked myself. I had one guy, you know, that he just talked to me so poorly to the point it hurt my soul, because I've never had, you know, somebody of color talk to me like that on a job. And same thing with a sister years ago, you know, that was in a high position, very successful. And, you know, it all comes down to that scripture, you reap what you sow in this life. And, you know, it is just so true. And a lot of times when I see people carry on the way they do, you know, they get to a certain point and abuse people or not, you know, help people with various opportunities, I realize there's going to come a point, you know, where they're going to fall, and they fall hard, and that's when it'll hit them. And for me, you know, I want to be successful, but my prayer has always been, you know, Lord, save me to the point I don't forget your blessings, where I don't forget what you brought me out of, where I don't, you know, lose consciousness of who I am and how to treat people, those kinds of things. Because I've heard stories of people who, you know, like the story you gave, oh, you can, you know, have somebody fan over you and pray over you in the church and cuss you out in the parking lot, you know, people that get that kind of stuff and then, you know, suffer a hard fall, you know. And then they run, and the interesting part of it is they run into the same people that they've mistreated and abused, and they looking all stupid.
Yeah, so, you know, we just have to remember that no matter what others do, we have to make sure we are not those that lose consciousness or lose awareness, you know, of how we got to where we are and stuff, so we don't suffer those kinds of consequences, because the others that do that kind of stuff, it always come back at them.
I think the key thing is purpose. The one thing that I've been studying is what purpose is. And purpose is the master of motivation and the mother of commitment. It is the source of enthusiasm and the womb of preservation. Purpose gives birth to hope and instills the passion to act. It is the common denominator that gives every creature an element of distinction. This guiding sense of purpose is more than an orientation toward a goal. Rather, it's a deep awareness that a common vision encompasses all life in existence. Without the vision, we can only exist. We feel no passion for living. Neither do we have a reason to wake up in the morning. So what you have described is a person that have no purpose. Because of that, you know, a lot of people wake up and come up with this word that 1,000 years ago, a king known as the wisest man that ever lived stated, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And what's that word I call it? What did you call it, Ms. Friedman? Ecclesiastes 1 and 2.
Ecclesiastes.
There you go.
Vanity, vanity. All is vanity.
I think our goal, if you go back to, I tell everybody, go back to the website, is absolutely changing. And I wanted to please let everybody know, Ms. Muhammad, your website so that people can experience your music and how to get in contact with you.
www.harpisfromthehood.com.
Okay, you have a MySpace too, right?
www.myspace.com/harpisfromthehood.
Okay. And you also have some CDs out there as well.
You can go to cdbaby.com/destinyharp.
Do that one more time.
cdbaby.com/destinyharp.
Okay, well, we certainly appreciate the understanding of how you change the degree of an environment. I think when Chevron called you out there, you was able to create a tranquil environment so that whatever they were trying to do, which is their town hall meeting, that's a part of their corporate social responsibility. A lot of people, a lot of us do not understand that most of these corporations do a lot of things just out of corporate social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They're reaching to our community. So When we're talking about just a limited amount of resources that we have in terms of the city of Atlanta, I want to pick on Ms. Hearns one more time. The one thing I told Ms. Hearns is, I said, Ms. Hearns, and she always says, exactly, this is why we're in Indiana, this, that, and the other. But I always kind of re-stress to her, never stress these people in Georgia, because they will never leave here. And they've never left. And some of them are born here and never left. And some of them have left. They've left, but never, their mentality has never left. I think being a global economy now makes us all global, having a global community, if that makes any sense. Our world has shrunken, and I can say this much. Let me tell you the area codes we have online. We have 512-219-404-651-952 online right now. The world has shrunk into a global community, and it is our charge in life to have a passion like Ms. Hearns is to empower our community and empower our young black men in any means necessary. If they only get a check for the day, at least you know that you would put an influx of capital inside the community if it was nothing but for one day, you know. So a lot of us do not understand that our social capital and our human capital networks will definitely trickle into a financial capital reward. And they always talk about financial capital networks. And these are the things that I want to also continue to stress throughout the show. We go back and forth, and I always try to stay focused on the power of understanding and how to empower each other without fear. The information that we share, we have to do this without fear of the person taking that information and becoming a multimillionaire. who cares? I don't, you know.
And what if they do?
What if they do? Because whatever God has for you will be for you. You know.
That's, and then I'd like to share this as with you. In talking about peace or harmony, when I'm depressed or sad, what makes me happy is to go and help someone else. And I see right now in Goble that I am interacting with other cities outside of Atlanta and to increase their minority participation goal. They've stated that they can't find minority females. So I'm there to help assist them and to empower their community.
I thought crab legs made you happy. And crawfish.
I love crab legs, crawfish. Usually on a Friday afternoon, I have to go to the Cal Farmer's Market and get me some crawfish because that's what makes my stomach happy. But besides, most is helping someone else when I'm depressed. It feels so good. Don't you feel good to give?
Yeah.
And the power of success is to give in the community of which God has created. He wants us to be happy. And happiness is right here on earth.
To me,
it is. And helping your fellow man. And we need to increase that and be more aware of that. Sure, you have people who have succeeded and they feel they are successful because they're a VP, but they still have that void inside of them. They're spiritual inside. And you're not happy until you help someone else. That's when you're happy. That's when I'm happy. And I'm learning that transcending more so.
Let me tell you about a story real quick. We only have a few minutes left in the show. This is about a doctor. It's in the book that I'm reading as well. The young man.
And the name of the book is?
In the Pursuit of Purpose by Miles Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bestseller. Anyway, the doctor had been driven by his parents to become a doctor. And the parents did everything. The father envisioned his son as being a doctor, and they did everything they could to make sure that this young man, you know, became a doctor. And he was a very tall, handsome young man, and he was about to receive this reward. And he went through 10 years of school, and he was at a award show. And they were about to, you know, praise him about what he has done and everything and all that. Well, when he got to the podium, the only thing he could do was stand there. And when he stood there for a moment, he started to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to weep. And he said, "Please understand, I love you and respect you deeply. I know all you have done to sacrifice me, provide for me with my education, and I thank you for it. But tonight I realize that I cannot continue living to fulfill your dreams and expectation. I must start fulfilling my own. When I accepted that award tonight, I felt like a hypocrite. Someone I don't even know earned that award because I don't know myself. I want to live. I want to come alive. I want to be what I was born to be. Please set me free and let me live." The young man he had a deep desire to be a musician. And his parents, he lived for them. And 10-12 years of his life was based on somebody else's dreams. So I encourage people to follow their dreams. I always tell everybody, I thank my mother for being able to allow me to follow my dreams to whatever end it is. It may be some crazy ones, but I think she understands that I have a better positive thinking of where I want to go and what I want to do. And it's not about growing up. I just found my purpose, and I found that in this time, in this place, this is why all of us are connected. This is why God has continued to allow us to be able to connect with sisters like Sister Muhammad and have a person on the phone like Ms. Freeman and have, you know, Janora Barnes on the phone as well. And Michelle, I certainly appreciate you always coming aboard and just giving a lot of sharing. And Ms. Hearns, I want to thank you definitely for coming on, because I know I've been chasing you for the longest to get you on the phone. So I know you're busy, and I appreciate the time. But I certainly want to just share with folks that this is not an organization that's going to sit blindly by and watch people get away with stuff and things. we have a litigation level of partners that we're teaming up with right there in California, actually, Destiny, with ERA, and been around since 1974. And they were the individuals that were partnered with Walmart for the lawsuit against women. So anyway, we're building litigation teams all over America, and we have people that are part of the new board that's been created for the oversight committee for all these different allegations. Because I always say something like this: when white people get mad, things get done. So they mad right now, and when you talk about taking $400 billion and only giving them $5 billion. Oh, yeah, there's going to be an oversight. There is an oversight committee that's going on right now, you guys, and it's going to be actually interesting on how we get our fair share as being a part of a social network, because we are tied in with, you know, PwC in New York, Chicago Women of Trades in Chicago, now in Washington, I think, and ERA in California. So I think we pretty much got it covered. It was being in Atlanta as well. So I think we really have it covered as an organization, as a structure, having a sustainable level of partners. I always tell everybody to continue to move forward and put God first in your lives. So everything is possible with Him. You know, I think that we want to, this whole month is going to be directed on just more conversation. Any kind of news blogs that we get that are urgent, we'll speak about that at the front part of the show. But I also want to let you know that we need to speak life into our community. And this show is going to be able to speak life, because even after the show becomes archived and people go in and they listen to it, they sit down and they listen to it, and I get comments back. And, we're invited to go on other people's shows now. So I just want to thank everybody. We got 3 minutes left in the show. I want to thank the Turns at CJ Hearn Construction, located at
131. I'm in Atlanta, right at the Fox Theater. And I really appreciate you and appreciate the show. And I do want to say that Atlanta has become a very diverse cultural city here. And the people here are just willing to work with you. Hispanics, Asians, Africans, et cetera, et cetera. And the Blue Eyed Soul Brothers is what I call them. They're very open and working together, and I really appreciate that. I enjoy being in Atlanta and to see this change. The change is here, and it's just implementing those policies and enforcing that we will overcome. It's here. The sign of the times is here.
And Destiny, I would like you to sign off on your part, please. Thank you for coming and being on the show.
I thank you all for having me, and I'm looking forward to connecting in person. We're going to keep the connection strong, even from the distance, but we are going to come together and do what we said we are going to do on this show. We're going to do this live and for sure and for real.
Appreciate that. And Ms. Freeman?
Yes, I'd like to just thank you for having me on the show this afternoon.
And Ms. Bowen?
What's all that?
Not sure. Ms. Bowen?
Yes, I would like to thank everyone, and we appreciate it.
And thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Kareem. I want to say thank you to everyone for all your sharing and your input, and I'm just really glad that this show is still on and that we can exchange ideas.
All right. Thank you, ladies, and you all be blessed.
You
all right,
be
you
blessed.
Too.
Modern needs, and finally I found somebody. fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And now be what you need, cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. Let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep? As long as I see your face, I don't want to be awake. I count sheep forever.